This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Power Business with Kaya Sitole on Power 98.7.
Welcome back to the Thursday evening edition of Power Business. We're here with you until 8 p.m. Today, the number finally came out, the number that we've all been dreading, and that is, of course, the question of how higher your electricity bills will be allowed to be. And the reason I say allowed to be is that, of course, Eskom doesn't unilaterally just hike prices. They have to go and convince the regulator that this is what is indeed needed to keep them viable. They had said it is going to be 20.5%. The regulators come back and said, well, actually, 9.61% is what you're going to get. To talk us through what that means for you and I, we're joined on the line by our energy expert, Thabiso Tenyane. Thabiso, firstly, I'd like you to take us through the process of how do these exchanges of information between the regulator and Eskom happen, and Eskom says, we need a tariff update, this is what it's going to cost us, and then the regulator engages. How does it all work?
Thank you very much for this important part. The question becomes, if you compare the percentages, you're saying, hey, 20%, were we going to afford it? And then you say 9% is still sound good to us as consumers. But let us understand the methodology that gets to be applied. And I'll try and simplify this technical thing called tariff or multi-year price determination. There is a required revenue that Eskom must generate. And when Eskom generates that, NERSA says you must generate in a very prudent way and then in a very efficient way. Now, all of us know that Eskom is not efficient. That we know. For the fact that you have something called load shedding or the plant has broken, it tells you that they are not efficient in whatever that they are doing. So the first thing that the regulatory framework covers is the operational cost of Eskom. They say, listen, you have the IPP cost. You need to have a cost natural. You have the imported gas that you are getting from Mozambique, Cabora Bassa. You have the fuel that you are using in other gas stations that you have. Then you have coal that you are buying. And the one of the anomalies that we also need to look at is who regulates the price of coal. So if tomorrow Eskom says I need more coal and the seller, the supplier of this says this is so much per ton, Eskom needs to pay that. And then the cost of diesel for that matter. And then you need the staff to operate these power stations, and you need your administration costs. So those are fairly what could be looked at as operational costs that are fixed, that NERSA needs to consider that upfront. Then you go back to one that is based on power plants, the transmission cost, the distribution cost, and the infrastructure asset base. You know, where you then say, is it reasonable that the utility rate of return to the asset is still this? So again, I must indicate that Eskom only have two new power stations. The rest have long been amortized and depreciated. So they will have a serious argument to do that. And in that also, you then consider the availability of this capacity to the country in order to be utilized when it is time to be utilized. Also, we question that availability. For as long as we have load shedding and you go and argue that I have so many power stations that I am maintaining, but then at a certain point, you're telling us I cannot be able to provide you with electricity. Then that's why the regulator looks at those things. And at the end, we have seen this as a trend. Number of times it then becomes the tariff that gets to be pronounced gets to be almost half what Eskom has required. So it clearly the argument of efficiencies from their side.
Now, of course, I imagine that when Eskom goes and presents these numbers, they are indeed trying to be as honest as possible. At what point in time does the regulator look at their proposed increases and say, well, actually, this is due to your own inefficiencies and this is actually allowable? Is it a detailed process that says justify why you have two, individuals operating that switch instead of one? How exactly does the regulator then work out what the right number is to arrive at 9.61%?
Look, let us look at the South African strategy probably originating from the 70s, 80s, 90s. We had what we could call an artificially low tariff of electricity because we had built so many power stations during that period that we then found not to be useful to the country, except that, remember, electricity was not, you can't store it. And once you have generated it and you have not sold it to anyone, you're not in a position to store it and says, I'll use it tomorrow. So the strategy then became, we're going to have this artificially low tariff of electricity in order to attract major industries and create jobs. It worked at the time because then we had smelters that were coming into the country, steel companies like ArcelorMittal, and we were building railway lines. ISCO required that, and other intensive users were enjoying those low tariffs as they were then disposed on the basis that it's a waste. Now, and upon that, if you can compare our tariff structure in other countries do what they have to. They have something called a reserve buildup, considering that in the next 10 years, I may need to build a power station. Therefore, then, I need to add 2-3 cents or 5 cents a dollar or whatever, in order that when that time comes, we are in a position to build other new power stations. But in South Africa, we just went into sleep for almost 20 years, and then by the time we wake up, it was probably 2005. And now we want to do a big build, which then ended up costing us the cost overruns of Medupi and Nkosile, giving us the debt of over 300 billion. Now we're sitting with this situation that needs to be resolved. But also, let me remind ourselves in terms of when Eskom takes a decision in 2007 and says, I'm building Medupi and Nkosile, they increase the tariff then. You know, before they even put a shovel on the ground, they already increased it. People have forgotten that it was 25% and 30%, and then they got even embarrassed to themselves to then say, no, we're coming back to be 15% now. We're thinking we are okay. At that time, the cost overruns of Medupi and Nkosile had not been seen. So we sit in a situation where, as a country, we're going to have to ask ourselves a question. What do we do? Do we take the pain now and build up reserves in order to build new other power stations, depending on technologies that are required in a cleaner technology or climate change compliant? But also at the same time, we're very quick to be looking at your levelized cost of electricity being lower, while at the same time we are deindustrializing in South Africa, because those power stations need to be decommissioned. Those are, you, my brother, knows that those are super 10. You know, those Kumbis E20s that are just so being dragged, and that cost cannot be avoided. We need new power stations in the country.
Very tricky one. So today when NERSA comes and says 9.61%, I imagine that immediately creates a bit of a conundrum for Eskom, because if they presented numbers that said we need a 20% increase, it means that they were putting their budgets and their planning on the basis of that number. When the regulator comes back and says that the number is different, what does that then do for Eskom? Do they then have to start cutting corners somewhere in order just to get to the end of the year? How does it actually work?
Exactly. It's let's gear ourselves for more load shedding going forward. It's exactly that, because we're not building any reserves. We're not building any, you need to say we need to build the reserves and let us find a transparent way. Because this love-hate relationship that is happening between the regulator and Eskom, I'm not sure what is really causing it. Because these two people have been together in this particular journey for the longest time ever. But let me also remind you that there is still a major decision that went to court where government gave Eskom 59 billion as a bailout, and NERSA then said, we recognize this as your revenue, and therefore then we are not going to give you a certain increase on the basis that you got that particular money. That matter went to court, and Eskom won it, and now NERSA has taken it back to the appeal court. So I think in this decision, much as we don't have yet what we call record of decision, which will probably come out tomorrow or so, that they print a detailed report in saying we didn't consider this for this reason or we didn't consider that. That 60 billion is a factor. Because should Eskom, let me make an example, should Eskom win it again, then it means it must be added into the tariff, and this tariff will go back to 20%. So we have this situation that why every time this multi-year price determination cannot be agreed upon, and we change it from 3 years to 10 years and say we're projecting in over 10 years that these are things that we may require. So Eskom, stick around 8% over a period of 10 years. And there are other mechanisms that exist in this regulatory framework. We call others cost recovery mechanism, CRM. We call others revenue clearing account, that if things happen in a way that we didn't expect during the year, or the economy begins to grow, and therefore then Eskom needed to supply more, it can go and justify itself. So those mechanisms are there. But we just always going to react on a shorter term. We're talking 2022 and 2023. Why can't we talk 2030 or 2033 and then agree on a lower average that we can able to justify ourselves in terms of the strategy that the country must do? Because as we speak today, let me also emphasize one point. Eskom by regulation needs to have 15% reserve margin. What does that mean? If a power station broke, they need to have a reserve capacity that they could utilize in order to fix the other plant that is broken. As we speak today, Eskom says, I have 25,000 megawatt, 24/7, 365 days. I don't have any other to offer. And this has moved from a capacity of 55,000. Now is sitting at half the capacity. So what it means is this economy will never grow. We're going to sit in the same not growing economy for the longest time ever. So we need to look at this particular issue.
When does this tariff increase then kick in? Is it immediate, or is it a matter of whether you're a direct customer of Eskom or in an indirect one like those of us that are on City Power? What happens now?
If the financial year is 1st of April, it's going to kick in with immediate effect.
Yeah.
And look at yesterday, the Minister of Finance was saying, I'm not increasing the taxes, I'm not increasing this because I have then looked at the inflation is still lower and then all that. Here's a factor, 10%. Where is that going to come from? If you're getting an inflation increase of 4% in your salary, then there is an Eskom on the other side with 9.6%. How did you survive that particular situation? Is that not going to contribute to the non-payment that is taking place? It is going to.
Very difficult times and very, very tough times looming, because obviously as the cost of electricity goes up and everything else starts increasing, we are getting squeezed ever more tightly as consumers. Thank you very much, Thabiso Denyane, giving us some insights on the energy world on the day that NERSA said to Eskom, you may increase your electricity prices by 9.61%. Still a bit better than the 20.5% that Eskom had asked for, but of course it's going to bite all of us quite very immediately. It's time for Power News, because it's 7 p.m.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.